Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Boy, that was masterful. All right, let's head out to the podium. Drew Locke is speaking to the media.
You know, changing things in game plans.
Yeah, I think we have a really open room. You know, there's been multiple times where we've all talked about things together. He even passed things by me. Do I like this? Do I not like this? We sit together every Saturday, go over my number one plays in this down distance, this down distance, this down distance, and pretty much gets called like that. He wants what I'm comfortable with. And, you know, I get a selection of what, you know, goes in per week for the defense we're playing, but we talk about it. We talk about it every single day in our room. And I personally think he's doing a great job. I think I could have done a lot better job on Sunday. Complete easy passes, work through my progressions better, trust our line a little more. And that's fully my plan this week, and I'm excited to go do that.
Yes, I'm trying.
Yeah, Drew, for the first time since you've been the starter, and it is a small sample size, but some of the scrutiny is falling on you specifically. How do you deal with that? You know, the criticism, you've played this position a long time. Second part is, what is your guys' offensive identity, or what should it be moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, you play quarterback, you're going to get criticized regardless. I've been criticized plenty of times at the good old University of Missouri. It just is what it is. That's what we signed up to do, but this is also what we'd love to do. And you know, part of the time is people that criticize couldn't be out here doing what we do anyways. So kind of, it's a funny thing, but, you know, they're analytics people. They'll look at it, and sometimes the analytics are true. Can't deny that, but most of the time the people that can't be out here doing it. Second off, our offense, I mean, we're going to keep this explosive mentality. You know, attack downfield, mixing the run game, be great on both sides, run and pass. And just try to be as balanced as we can, but with a real attacking mindset for sure.
Thanks, I'm Ryan Howard.
Hey, Drew, you just mentioned trusting your O-line a little bit more. Can you dig into that just a bit? Is it working up in the pocket, staying where you're at in the pocket, all of the above?
I'd say it's a little both of those, staying where I'm at, working up. Just kind of my whole life, just been a run around, go try to make plays kind of guy. And, you know, we play a defense like what the Chiefs did. You know, they played big zones against us and forced me to check it down. And, I don't blame them. We saw this the week before and we hit some deep balls. So it's back off that it was also snowing. I mean, it was just freezing cold at the same time. There's a lot of factors that went into what was going on that game. But, you know, they were forcing me to check it down and I wasn't doing it. I was running around. And then I was in return for some balls downfield a little bit there. It ended up hurting our offense. It took us off the field. And, you know, I can be a lot better at that. And that's a big goal of mine this week is even after I let go of the ball, working through my progression in practice without the ball in my hand and just finding a way to keep maneuvering in the pocket and keep this offense on the field as long as possible.
Next one, Mike Clemson.
Drew, you talked a lot about some of the overall symptoms of what's gone wrong, but specifically, it looks like third down has been a trouble spot for you. Your stats are great on second down, not great on third down. Anything you can pinpoint what's going on there?
You know, third down is a category in itself in practice. You know, defense bring countless number of things in certain sections of third downs, as you well know. And, you know, third down's tough. And I think one of the things, if we go back and look at our stats is, yeah, we can be better at third and shorts, but we got to keep ourselves out of the long third downs. I know personally last game, I could have at least maybe two or three of those third downs. I'm like third and two to six, third and three to six, somewhere in that range. Missed a couple baby throws. Those that I made in Pop Warner, that's unacceptable by me. And, again, like I said, I'm working on that not happening again, and just sharpening the focus a little bit there on those third downs.
Next one, Nick Kuzmaier.
Yeah, Drew, I'm curious what you think both you and the offense can do to kind of help Jerry create a little bit of rhythm going forward. And then Sunday on the deep ball to him, was that just a kind of a matter of miscommunication? It looked like there was some pre-snap confusion there as well.
Yeah, there was a little miscommunication there. Me and him talked about it in practice. And we also talked after the game that, you know, there'll be no excuses for us two in practice if we don't complete a pass to each other. And if we do and complete a pass, we're going to run it two times after practice. We ain't completed a third pass today, and I think he wanted to run it five more times after practice. I've seen a big flip of a switch from him, talking in the huddle, being vocal, told the huddle to tighten up today, which was, you know, as a wide receiver, as a rookie, you know, not necessarily his responsibility to make sure the huddle's tight. It's definitely mine on the whole lines, but he went in there and he got vocal. And I thought that was awesome. We talked about it after the game that, you know, I look back on my last games as a rookie. And I hated the fact that, you know, I wasn't as vocal as I could have been and used the rookie and let the vets kind of talk as an excuse. I said, I don't want you to feel that, especially right now as we're kind of in a hole. Guys will look to you. Guys will look to me, regardless of how old we are. We got to keep that focal point going.
That's time for a few more next from Jeff Blackwell.
Hey, Drew, I'm just curious if you know Justin Herbert at all, if you've met him at an event or anything, or if you have any kind of relationship with him at all.
Yeah, I haven't. I know I watched him a lot. I watched him in Oregon. Played really well his last year. I know Brett's played him when Brett was at Boise. Pretty sure Brett won, too. But no, I don't know him very well.
Guys, time for two more. Next one, Mark Kisla.
A little different. This team's played well on the road and hasn't won yet at home. And in this strange year, is there any difference between the road and home? Is there such a thing as home field advantage anymore?
Absolutely not, except for the fact that you have to travel and you might be a little tired. But like you said, I mean, there's no noise anywhere you go play. I know we had people in our stands, and they were loud for the number that could be in there, but it's obviously not loud enough to really affect a game and get the true Mile High experience from the teams that get to come in here. But, you know, traveling is tough too, though. I mean, especially for us. I mean, Brett had to go play in that Thursday night East Coast game, and then we go back to New England, and you get there, and technically, you need to go to bed in like 2 hours, and that's like 5 o'clock your time, 6 o'clock your time. It's tough. You wake up, and it's really 4 o'clock back in Colorado. There's just those different things of juggle with away games, but I wouldn't say there's too much of home field advantage anywhere in the league right now.
Last one, Michael Spencer.
Hey, Drew, looking ahead to Sunday, what stands out to you about the Chargers defense that you've seen on film from them?
First off, dynamic pass rushers in Ingram and obviously Bosa. But, I mean, I feel like Joey's the big name there that kind of crowds up the rest of the space to be talked about. Linebacking core is obviously a veteran in Perriman. Murray is a really talented rookie. And then you got King and you got maybe Chris this week. You never know. They're a really talented team. They're going to fly around. And we got to be careful of the ball. Turnovers are a key point for us this week, and we'll do our best to limit those.
Okay, Drew, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
There he is, Drew Lock from the podium down in Dove Valley, meeting with the media. Stoke,
yeah.
Few things jumped out to me, but as you were listening to that, good, bad, and different, what did you hear from the quarterback?
Well, yeah, there's a few that stuck out to me also. You know, you heard him talking about Pat Shurmur and what they do every single week and how they sit down and they talk about things and they sit together every Saturday and talk about what he likes and what he wants implemented into the game. So... that's kind of what you expect to happen. But certainly I think now looking at what he struggled with, if he continues to struggle with it, you got to have a different philosophy here. You got to figure some things out to help him get off that first read, go to the second read, go to the third read. The other thing that you heard him say was trust the O-line more. You know, hang in the pocket a little bit more. And he said, you know, he's always been the type of quarterback that kind of just runs around and makes plays. He's just been a ball player, right? You know, when things kind of break down a little bit, boom, get out of the pocket. You're athletic. You're going to make plays on the run. And now he's kind of having to try to retrain himself with, you know, I mean, you listen to some of these things and it goes back to me with, and it's like, it's almost like repeat every single day, but it's no off season. It's no preseason games. Those reps to, hey, hone in and work on it. That's when you work on these types of things. It's hard to work on them during the season.
Yeah.
You know, that it's like during the football season, you just try to maintain the strength that you gained in the off season in the weight room, right? And that's the same thing as far as practice habits and correcting mistakes. You try to do all that stuff in the off season. That's when you try to perfect it. And then, you know, come the season, you just try to maintain it. But it's hard to make huge gains during the season. And the last thing that he said that really, you know, he said a lot of things that I liked, but he said, we're going to keep the explosive mentality. You know, so obviously that's their approach, is be aggressive and throw the football down the field. So we'll see what it looks like this week.
All right, let's head back out to Dove Valley. Vic Fangio at the podium.
Here lately, very few. I mean, it's like one or two in the last couple of weeks. You know, total, not counting Motkin's one. But yeah, there's been one or two. But Mike's just in the COVID protocol system right now. We'll know more as each day goes by, and we'll go from there.
Okay, next one, Ryan O'Halloran.
Hey, Vic, got two for you. First one, what's your take on Justin Herbert after watching his tape?
He's playing very good for those guys. These guys have averaged 32, 33 points in the last three games. He's had a big part in that. He throws the deep ball real well, throws the intermediate stuff well. Obviously very athletic. You know, can run the gun runs for the quarterback. They run the RPOs, the zone reads. They have a good boot game with him. They've done a good job coaching him and adapting their offense to his skill set, and he's really played well the last 3 weeks.
Second question, you mentioned the special teams errors the other day. What's your confidence level in Tom McMahon to figure this out? And as the head coach, what kind of suggestions do you make in a week like this?
Well, I have great confidence in Tom. Tom's an experienced coach. He's done a good job in this league for a long time. You know, we've had our struggles here of late, but I'm confident Tom will lead the way and pull us out of them. And, him and I talk about it all the time. Some of it we talk scheme, some of it personnel, trying to get our, you know, some players in there to possibly help on the coverage unit. So we do talk about it a lot.
Next one, Torrain.
Coach, this would have, I think, normally been your bye week, so it would have been that self-scouting. As you look at the offense, what do you want the offensive identity to be as you guys go forward these final 10 games?
Like, I'd like to see us be an efficient offense. You know, we've turned it over too much lately. I'd like to see us be more successful in the passing game with positive plays and be able to have a good mix of running and pass.
Next one, Jeff Legman.
Vic, can you say if Munch tested positive or is he just a close contact?
I can't say either way. You know, obviously the contact could be part of it. You know, they're going through the process of determining all that.
Okay, and then it may just be a mistake on my part, but I didn't see Dotson out there today. Was he?
Yeah, he was there.
Okay, that's on me then.
Next one, Patrick Saunders. Patrick, your line's unmuted. Okay, we'll skip Patrick and go to Zach Stevens.
Hey, Coach, today Drew Locke said Jerry Jeudy has flipped a switch. Specifically this week in practice, he told the guys to tighten up the huddle. Have you noticed that from Jeudy as well?
Yeah, I thought he had a good day today. It's all part of the process of learning how to play in the NFL. You're at the highest level. And I thought he had a good day today.
Next up, Mark Kisla.
Coach, for all my years here, kind of the formula for the Broncos making the playoffs is win six or seven at home and split on the road, and you're right there. You got 11 wins or so. With this crazy year, is that formula out the window in terms of winning at home or on the road?
Yeah, I don't know what the numbers are around the league or how it looks, but I do think the home field usual advantage is still there a little bit, but it's dissipated some with, you know, no fans or very limited fans. We, all three of our road games, there was, I believe there was no fans, if I remember that correctly, yeah. And you can tell the difference. You know, you don't have the without a sold-out stadium rooting for the home team, it is different. So it'll be curious, interesting to see by the end of the season if the home and away stats have been altered.
Next one, Eric DeLala. Time for a few more, Eric.
Coach, with a young quarterback like Drew, how do you balance the patience you need to allow him the time to develop and become the player he can while still realizing it's a win-now league?
Yeah. Well, that just describes coaching right there. I mean, there's a ton of fine lines in coaching in all aspects of the game, not, you know, from an X and O standpoint, from a player standpoint, and we just have to manage that correctly. But we're confident that he's going to play good and keep improving as this season wears on.
Next one, Ryan.
Hey, Vic, your running backs haven't done too much of an impact in the receiving game this year. How much consideration is it to add in some of those screens to make it for an easy throw for Drew and some, you know, an easy yards for those backs?
Yeah, I mean, screens is always a good weapon for the offense. You know, the Chargers use it well. They do a good job at their screen game. Ours hadn't been real successful yet the few times we've done it. And like anything else, you know, when it hadn't worked, you're a little reluctant to call it. But it's definitely something that, you know, that we've looked at each and every week.
Final two, Arnie, then Troy. Go ahead, Arnie.
Hey, Vic, the last couple of weeks, Drew has kind of emphasized that he's going to continue to be aggressive and take the downfield shots. But like this last game, there was a lot of open underneath and intermediate that maybe he missed and threw into traffic. Do you think that maybe he needs to change that mindset a little bit about the aggression and maybe take a little bit more what the defense is given?
Yeah, like we said earlier, I think there's a fine line there. You do want to be aggressive if you think you have a chance for the down the field throw, but by no means can we disregard or ignore, not read it out at times and find the open guy that may be short or intermediate. So, yeah, we have to improve along those lines.
Final one, Troy Ring.
Coach, how do you address the loss of Mike Purcell? I mean, who goes in there first? And I know you brought Sly Williams back up. So kind of how do you address it along the D-line that's been kind of hit hard by injuries this year?
Yeah, I mean, Sly is a guy that can go in there and play. That's a position he's played. But Mike's been a big part of our defense here since we inserted him in the starting lineup last year. And we're going to miss him. You know, he's a very good run player for us. He kind of quarterbacks the D-line a little bit on the field. So we'll miss him. But we've got Sly available. Shelby can play nose. D-Walk can play nose. You know, so we have, you know, we train them all to be able to play all the spots there. And we're going to have to do it by committee.
Okay, Coach, thanks for taking the time.
All right, there he goes, Vic Fangio from Dove Valley, speaking to the media. A lot to digest from both him and the quarterback there, Stoke. Let's go back to what Drew Locke had to say real quick. I wanted to get your thoughts on a couple of things. One, I thought he did a good job of taking responsibility when he was talking about how, you know, the Chiefs were forcing him to check down and he just didn't do it. So he just, you know, needs to do a better job of it. He recognizes what the right read was, what the right decision was, and he should have done it. He took responsibility for some missed, as he calls them, baby throws on third down. They had a lot of third and shorts that they didn't convert, didn't keep the chains moving, which killed them. That was good. But the most interesting part, I thought, for a couple of reasons, the conversation he had or the comments he made about he and Jerry Jeudy, how after the game they talked about how, hey, in practice this week, every play, every throw we make, where we're together, it's got to be a completion. And they're going to go out there and, you know, redo it until they get it right. There was one today. They redid it five times, which I think is great. I think that's great maturity from a second-year player and from a rookie. But then he said that Jerry Jeudy was in the huddle telling everybody to tighten up the huddle. One, that's great that a young player is doing that. Two, it's amazing to me that a guy who's played, you know, in a handful of games and is a rookie is having to do that. Are you looking at that comment more from a positive standpoint or a negative standpoint?
No, I'm looking at it from a positive standpoint. I think, you know, it's sometimes we don't know the context of what actually was going down when he said that.
Sure.
But I look at it as a positive, you know, that he feels comfortable enough to just tell some guys, hey, tighten it up. I don't look at it as a huge deal, and this great stepping stone for Jerry Jeudy. Now he's this great leader or anything like that. I just look, hey, as a positive, and he feels comfortable enough to be able to step up and say, hey, come on, let's go, let's get our stuff together, let's go. You know, it could have been as simple as that, but I think that's a good thing. Could it have came from somebody else? Certainly. Don't know if Drew was in the huddle at that point or not. You know, maybe he was getting a play, and maybe some of the offensive linemen were just kind of chit-chatting, and Jeudy just wanted to speak up. And so I look at it as a positive. How do you view it?
Yeah, I did too from a Jerry Jeudy standpoint. But I look at it, and to me, part of it's leadership, but it's also like, you know, it's attention to detail, right? And I think part of the problem with this team since Peyton retired was it's the little things. They just don't, like, special teams to me is about little things, right? It's staying in your lane. It's, you know, sticking with your assignment. It's those kind of things. It's, they get penalties at inopportune times. They got too many guys on the field. It's not paying attention to detail. And to me, it's a little bit alarming that one, somebody is having to do that, right? This offense stinks. So, to me, they should be using every moment they're on the practice field. Maybe it's unrealistic, but
right.
Every moment they're on the practice field to, you know, get things down. So it's disappointing to me that they're loosey-goosey at all.
I mean, sometimes you're out there. I mean, you're not going to be, you know, these soldiers out there that's not going to, like, crack a joke because you're losing or have a little bit of fun. I mean, you still got to be relaxed. You want that relaxed atmosphere. You don't want it so tense that you know, you can't even, you know, have a little fun. You know, Drew was probably getting a play, and sometimes you kind of, you know, maybe making a joke in the huddle or whatever. I think you're going overboard there, buddy.
How many times after a loss would Peyton have to tell the offense to tighten it up in the first practice back? My guess is not very many.
Well, I mean, that didn't mean that we wouldn't joke behind his back and stuff. You know, it's Peyton.
Well,
no,
sure.
Now we can tell a joke. Now we can have some fun. You know,
okay.
I mean, there was certainly, you had Peyton hovering around, depending on what kind of mood he was in. But look, he was one of the guys too. He got it.
Yeah, but
for the most part, look, just as long as you're not goofing around all of practice, right? I don't want to read too much into that and say anything negative that the guys might be, you know, cracking a joke or just kind of screwing around a little bit.
I know I sound
get off my lawn guy.
Yes. I understand that. But to me, it's alarming because it sounds like who's setting the standard? Honestly, who's setting the standard?
They don't have. I mean, who do you think, James? I mean, look at the
offense. Well, it's the rookie wide receiver at this point.
Well,
that's concerning.
Well, I'm not going there. It happened one time
that we know of,
and he said something. But you look at the offense. I mean, there's not many leaders on the offense, right? I mean, we looked at. Hey, probably was going to be Cortland Sutton. Right, he would have been one of those guys, but he's gone. Drew Locke's still a young quarterback. He's struggling right now. Melvin Gordon just got here. He's struggling. Phillip Lindsay, he's hurt. The offensive line guys, you know, I mean, Bowles is Bowles. I mean, he could be one of those guys. Reisner, right? I don't even know if he's practicing. He's dealing with a shoulder. I mean, who are the veteran leaders on this football team?
Yeah.
There's not, you know, offensively.
It's Garrett Bowles.
Offense, right. Offense, you don't have many of those guys.
No,
so it's not like you have a collection of leaders and veteran guys to lean on. In these situations, you just don't.
No, but I did, you know, I don't want to be all negative. I did like the fact that, look, if you mess it up, they stayed out there after practice, Jerry Jeudy and Drew Locke, and ran it five more times. Great. I don't care if it's one more time, three more times, five more times. The number doesn't matter. To me, it was the, hey, we got to get this perfect. We're not going into the locker room until we got this right. That is the kind of attention to detail and the kind of perfectionism that I think makes an offense tick, that makes them good, and that's been missing. So maybe that's a positive sign. It's alarming that it's a rookie that's involved in it, but still, it's a positive.
Right? It's a positive. You know, in Indy when we were really good, I mean, any chance we got, we were throwing. And Peyton had us running routes. Special teams practice was going on. You know, it was me, Reggie, and Marvin going over stuff, or just me and Peyton. You know, and I would, you know, try to go hide for a little bit because, you know, we were running all over the place, and he'd come grab you. And next thing you know, instead of, you know, 5 minutes of relaxing, you ran 20 routes with Peyton.
That's
how all of a sudden on Sunday, like I said, when stuff hits the fan, you know, it's just like, boom, I know where that guy's going to be. I got confidence he's going to run the right route, and we got this connection. Well, that's built during these times, and that's built in the off season and doing the extra work. And so I do. I like that they're putting that work in, and because it's going to pay off for them. It will pay off, and I don't know when, but it'll pay off if they continue to do those little things and just hone in and have that chemistry and that connection. That's what makes that, you know, that relationship between quarterback and wide receiver, that's what that takes you to the next level when you're putting in that type of work. So, yeah, I did like hearing that also.
Yeah, and it's just, again, though, I think somebody has to set the standard, and, you know, it's best if it's a player. And you're right. They don't have a lot of veterans. They don't have a lot of leaders that are just built in, you know, guys that can take that role on offense. Or it can be, you know, the coach. Is it the offensive coordinator? Is it the head coach? You know.
Well, offensively, you know, you don't have a lot of guys, James. I mean, that's, you know, to be honest, and it can be Drew. Certainly he's the quarterback. But also, you know, Pat Shurmur. You're the offensive coordinator. I mean, if you don't have that guy, then you have to become that guy's offensive coordinator.
Yeah, no, and that's part of what, you know, at least when I read into it, that I hear that was missing. All right, time for a little fun. It's the weekly staple. I've never done this. I've, you know, sat in with you a bunch of times, sat in with Zach, but I've never had a chance to do this. So it's the first time for me.
Okay.
We get to play Stockwatch.
Oh.
So which Broncos are trending up? Who's trending down? We'll find out coming up next. All right. It's time for the weekly staple. It's Stockwatch. I get to be the host here, Stoke. I'm like Richard Dawson.
Yes.
Pat Sajak. You know, some of the all-time classics, right?
Yes. Alex Trebek.
Yes, sure, that's you. Sure. All right. So here we go. Let's start, as per usual, with the quarterback, Drew Lock.
Down. I don't think there's any really debating that, or it's a surprise at all. He didn't play very well. He's talked a lot about it, and you know, he's got to play better moving forward.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. In terms of going down, I think everybody was pretty high on him, and it's been a steady down since the start of the season. And I think Sunday was probably the low point. All right, let's move out to left tackle. Garrett Bowles,
up
high.
I mean, Bowles has been great this whole year. He's done a really good job. You know, we talked about it earlier in the show. He's the highest rated tackle in all of football, according to Pro Football Focus. So he's doing something right. We see it with our eyes. Their numbers are backing it up. So Bowles has been great, and he continues to do a good job, and hopefully he'll continue that the rest of the year.
You know, and you and I think we're maybe two of the only people who were, I don't know if we were optimistic. We were just weren't pessimistic about Bowles, or as pessimistic as some people.
We just weren't as negative because we actually saw that, you know, this guy isn't awful. Now he has some moments. If he can just get those moments fixed, then he could be a decent player.
But even we didn't think at this point in the year we'd be hearing you utter the words, Bowles has been great.
Right.
But he has been. He's been really, really good. I mean, you know, you can say Pro Football Focus is, you know, not the be-all, end-all if you want to. I get it. But still, based on their grading scale, he's number one in the league at the tackle position. That's a sign that the guy is playing great. All right, let's go in the backfield. Running back Melvin Gordon.
Down.
Sell.
You know, Melvin hasn't played very well this year. Had a two fumbles that he got credited for, had the one on the reception. He's doing really nothing in the passing game. And then, you know, flea flicker. It's really not that hard to toss it back to the quarterback, underhand toss to the quarterback. I mean, it's really not that difficult of a thing to do. And he found a way to chunk it over his head, and there was a turnover there also. So we're definitely not getting our money's worth with him, and he didn't play very well. And then you just see the difference between him and Phillip Lindsay, and it's just night and day. So down on Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, when Phillip Lindsay wasn't able to go in the second half, The offense just had no spark at all. But that flea flicker is, it's like the epitome. If you could just pick one play and say, why is the Broncos offense not good this year? And you could only show people one play. It's that. It's just like they have no rhythm. They're just, it's like the Keystone Cops. It's, they can't do the little things. Like, that is about as simple a thing as you could do, I would think. If you're just a normal person walking down the street, you can toss a ball underhand. For a professional athlete to be that bad on such a simple thing, that was kind of staggering. Have you ever seen one just, you know, bungled to that extent?
No. I haven't. All right. It's really hard to do.
Let's talk about a few rookies here. Alberto.
Oh. Hi. He's been, look, first game he had a couple moments there that he could have made plays, possibly touchdowns there, and wasn't able to hold on to it. I didn't know how much we were going to see him in this last game with Noah Fant being healthy, but how about 7 receptions on 7 targets for 60 yards? I think that's a pretty darn good game. So I've really liked what I've seen from Albert O. Really liked what I've seen from him. And hopefully we can just keep those two, Albert O and Noah Fant, can make a great 1-2 combination here for the next handful of years, because both those guys have the potential to be really, really stars. And so it's been nice to see Albert O make this type of impact.
Do you think Albert O is getting that many targets because he's getting open that much, or because he's Drew Lock's whoopee? He's like his comfort blanket.
I think it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
You know, obviously, when you're a young quarterback, you're going to throw it to the guy you feel that you trust and that you feel comfortable with. And certainly Albert O, he trusts and he feels comfortable with. So I think it's a little bit of both. And, you know, obviously he wasn't too disappointed in him in the first game with I think the one drop, the other one, you know, I give credit to the defender for knocking it out of Albert O's hands. But he wasn't too disappointed, or too let down, because he went to him 7 times, and Albert O delivered every single one of those into a catch.
All right, let's go to another rookie, wide receiver Jerry Jeudy.
Down.
Slow.
You know, I just, look, I've been holding out hope, being patient here, but just got to see more. And it's not all on Jeudy, but when he gets opportunities, he's just got to take advantage of them. Just 2 receptions last game on 4 targets. Pat Shurmur has got to find ways to get the football in this guy's hands. He's just got to. Slants. Throw him some quick stuff, you know. Let's get some 3-step into the game plan and not have Drew holding the ball for so long and get the ball in Jerry Jeudy's hands. He's a great route runner. He is. And I understand he's had some drops, but he's still out on the football field. He was the number 15th overall pick. You're not cutting a guy. He's going to play. Get some plays early in the game to get him involved and get him going, because he is a great route runner. Whether it be a quick out, slant, in route, curl, something. Get the ball to Jerry Jeudy more. Make him more of a focal point of this offense.
Yeah, it just we've had one wow moment from Jerry Jeudy so far. It was the touchdown in New York against the Jets. Was a great play. And look, his 2 receptions the other day, if memory serves, they both turned into first downs. Both the first one he had to kind of make a, you know, reaching grab, and on the second one he had to cut back inside and get a couple more yards to get the first down. So he made nice plays, but I don't think you take a guy at number 15 overall to make nice plays. That's not what we were expecting. That's not what we're looking for.
That's right. Yep. Need more than that. But I'm not putting it all on him. You know, I think the offensive coordinator's got to do more to get him involved, because that guy is one guy that could be a difference maker.
All right, another fellow rookie wide receiver, K.J. Hamler.
Hamler, down.
Slow.
He's been off and on hurt, and last game you didn't see him do a whole lot. I mean, he had 2 for 24 and 3 targets, and just expecting to see a little bit more from him when it comes to his speed and explosiveness, and we just haven't quite seen that. Now, they did give it to him, I think, once in the running game.
Yeah, at the end around.
Yeah, had the end around for 10 yards, so I like seeing that, but I'm hoping for a little bit more. What'd you think of KJ?
Yeah, you know, he's just, and then he's
was that a little bit too harsh on him?
No.
For down? Should I stay flat with him?
He
didn't have a drop, I don't think, or anything like that, but I just need to see some plays. Make some plays.
And, you know, when he does get the football in his hand, like, the end around was fine. He had, like, you know, I think he got 10, 11 yards on it, and he tried to jump up in the air, and he got spun around, and, you know, it kind of turned into a, you know, one of those highlight type hits that, you know, wasn't really that bad. It just looked dramatic, but it's just like, you know, you don't see anything that wows you. You don't see anything where you're like, ah, that's any different than what we would have seen out of Juwan Winfrey or anybody else, right? Like, so for a second round pick, to me, I want to see something where I'm like, man, that's special. That's a, boy, if they could harness that and get that a few more times a game, they'd be onto something. I'm just not seeing that. All right. Next up, Noah Fant.
Flat. Just going to hold. I think with Noah, you know, it could have been up, trending up. Obviously, he didn't play the week before. Drew missed him on a few opportunities there, and you could tell he was getting a little bit frustrated. But
yeah,
he had some opportunities down the field and just wasn't able to connect with Drew. I think the ankle still obviously playing a role and a factor, and is still not 100%. But 3 for 38 on 7 targets. It could have been a lot better, though, if him and Drew would have been on the same page.
Yeah, for sure. He certainly was open a lot. He was the guy when the broadcast crew would show the replay and it would be Drew Lock throwing it deep to Jerry Jeudy into triple coverage. It was Noah Fant that was wide open in the middle of the field. So, you know, he's getting open. When they drafted him, it was, hey, this guy with that speed and that size is going to be a matchup nightmare. It kind of feels like he could be. They just need to exploit it, right? We saw it the first half against Tennessee. The Titans couldn't cover him. They didn't get a ball the rest of the game.
Right.
So, I think it's one of those things the Broncos probably just need to do a little bit.
Bye. No, Tim Patrick, I think, look, he didn't have the type of game that we've been seeing with the 100 yards, but 3 for 44 on 4 targets, 27 was his long. He's just been really good all year. So I'm not going to say he's going down, obviously. I'm not going to stay flat with him. I continue to like what I've been seeing from Tim Patrick.
I think Tim Patrick is fine. But I think Tim Patrick and the praise that he's gotten and the attention and everybody kind of, you know, falling over backwards to just be in love with Tim Patrick, I think it's just a sign of how bad this offense has been for 3 or 4 years that we're getting excited about this. It's like, you know, you've been driving such a jalopy, you're excited about the new Dotson,
right?
It's still a Dotson.
You're right. Look, I mean, Tim Patrick, he's a solid football player, a wide receiver. He's not a Pro Bowler, but he's a guy that can play every position. He's a really good special teams player, and he's, he is one of those leaders on that football team. So I think that's really kind of sums up who Tim Patrick is.
So, Stoke, did I show my age in this segment more with the Richard Dawson reference or the Dotson reference? That's close. That's close.
Yeah. That is close.
All right, let's go to the other side of the ball. Bradley Chubb.
Up. Bye. I'll say up. He got a sack. I'm not going to hate on the sack, even though it was a gimme. I mean, it was a layup.
Even though nobody blocked him.
Right. I mean, he got unblocked. And then Patrick Mahomes was going to throw the hot route to Le'Veon Bell, and Le'Veon Bell's just running, you know, not even looking. So he just, it was really a self sack, and he got the freebie. So, whatever. I'll give it to him. He didn't do much else, though. That was pretty much it. He had 2 tackles. A sack. So that was really it. He had a couple quarterback hits, but not much impact from Bradley Chubb. But he did get a sack. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt there, even though it wasn't like he earned that sack.
His sack that he got was a lot like a number of the sacks he got his rookie year, right? Like he had 12 sacks. Everybody's all excited. That number looks great. And you kind of sound like you're a nitpicker if you diminish it. But with Vaughn on the other side that year, he got a lot of those where, hey, they just weren't paying as much attention to you. It was a lot of like, all you had to do was run in and touch the guy on the head because he fell down kind of thing. I probably would have been flat with Bradley Chubb. He's, you know, kind of rounding into form, but geez, I think there's, you know, hundreds of linebackers that could have got that sack the other day. All right, let's stay defensively. Let's go Shelby Harris.
Down. Shelby, you know, he didn't do a whole lot last game. One tackle, got in a screaming match, got a penalty. We didn't see a huge impact from Shelby Harris, and we're just reacting to last game, so didn't see him do a whole lot. The only thing that I remember from Shelby Harris is him yelling and screaming and getting a penalty.
Yeah, I don't like those kind of moments. You know, it's sort of, it reeks of insubordination, right? Like that's your boss. You shouldn't be doing that kind of thing, especially publicly. But I think that's, Does that not just reek of a sign that there's just a lack of respect for the head coach? Can you imagine Shelby Harris doing that to, heck, I don't know, Gary Kubiak, Mike Shanahan, guys that we've had here that obviously were, you know, very esteemed kind of head coaches? I can't imagine that happening.
Well, I don't want to go that far. Look, things get heated. And I don't know what Vic said to him, and you know, Shelby was yelling back. It's kind of one of those things where if it's a one of, I'm fine with it. You know, these things happen. And certainly it seems like both of those guys have put it behind them. Now, if we start seeing this stuff every week, now we got a big issue. Or every other week, or if we see it crop up again, it should be a one and done type of situation. Shelby was heated. We've never seen Shelby, to my recollection, react that way during a game. It happens. Learn from it. Move on. These guys are competing. They're frustrated. It's okay. It's okay. That's the way I look at it.
It's twice in, what, 22 games that we've seen a player get into it with Vic Fangio on the sideline. It was Brandon McManus last year.
You count McManus?
Yeah, you don't think that counts?
No.
Why? Because he's a kicker?
Yeah, it doesn't count. Doesn't count.
No.
It doesn't count, James.
He was ticked. He threw his helmet. He was mad at the coach.
So what? He's a kicker. He doesn't count.
He's
not counted.
If Pete Carroll decides not to trot Brandon McManus out there for a 65-yarder, I don't think Brandon McManus reacts that way.
I don't know.
I'm just saying. I think it's alarming. All right, let's keep rolling through these. Malik Reed, up.
Five. Look, he's been great the last couple weeks, and he had a couple sacks this past week. So, five tackles. Good job, Malik Reed. A couple quarterback hits, and really, really nice job by him stepping in that void of Von Miller, Jeremy Atachu, and doing a nice job. So, he's been a bright spot that we've seen because of injuries.
You know, I would never suggest that, hey, he's, you know, filled the void and he's replaced Von Miller. But it doesn't seem like there's been a huge drop-off from what we saw Von do in this defense last year. Just last year, just counting that. And what we saw out of Malik Reed on Sunday.
I don't know.
If we had seen that from Von last year, we'd be like, hey, Von had a pretty good game. That's Von-like. Like,
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know what y'all talking about.
I don't know.
It was a good performance. Is that the point?
I'm not
like,
commenting on that, James.
Hey, they got.
I'm not commenting on comparing Von Miller to Malik Reed. Okay, I'm gonna let you handle it. I'm staying away from it.
Okay,
just tell me when we go to the next guy.
I'm not saying they found his replacement by any means. I'm just saying I didn't notice a big difference. All right, now let's move on. Kareem Jackson.
Down. Need more from Kareem Jackson, man.
Yeah.
Two tackles. He hasn't made the impact that he made last year. And I was, you know, glossing him last year. It seemed like every game that he was in, he was making these big-time plays and changing a game. And we felt the impact when he wasn't in the lineup. And this year, it just hasn't been the case for whatever reason. And we didn't see him do much of anything against the Chiefs either. So need more from Kareem Jackson.
Yeah, when Kareem Jackson wants to play, he can be great. I mean, last year he had that Houston game circled, right? And he went down there and he's defensive player of the week for the entire league. He was phenomenal.
Well, how about the Chargers game?
The Chargers
in
game,
LA.
You're right. They don't win that game. They start 0-5 for the first time in franchise history if he's not back on the field that game. So he was great. He has not been good this year. He was not good on Sunday against the Jets, the Sam Darnold touchdown run. Kareem Jackson made a business decision.
Nah, I'm not going there.
He flat out quit on that play.
Nah, I'm not going there.
Okay. All right. We can agree.
Those guys are in tough situations, and it looks like he's going to slide, and he doesn't slide.
All right.
You're like, well, I don't think Kareem Jackson is scared to hit Sam Darnold.
I'm not saying he's scared to hit him.
Well, what kind of business decision is it then?
I get to... But part of it may be what you're talking about. It's a quarterback of like, hey, I don't need to hit anybody here and have it be at the last second. I end up getting fined on it. And, you know, I just think it didn't seem to me like he was, acting like, hey, the game is on the line and I got to make this tackle. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
He didn't have that kind of intensity. So, all right, let's move on. Cornerback Bryce Callahan.
Up. Bye. Look, I think Bryce has been really good here the last few weeks. He's been a bright spot, so it's been good to see him out on the football field. He's been making some plays, and so up for him.
Yeah, I agree. I thought he was really good. I look at their corners, and I thought A.J. Bouye, first game back, was pretty good. We talked about it earlier. I think Michael Ojemudia has been their best rookie. Bryce Callahan was good. Like, that's three pretty legit corners. I mean, they haven't had three corners like that probably since the heyday of the no-fly zone. I think we came into the season expecting that to be maybe a weakness, Stoke. I think they've been
pretty optimistic.
Good.
I was one optimistic guy about the secondary.
I think they've been good. I think Bryce Callahan was really good on Sunday.
Yep.
All right, Alexander Johnson.
Up. Look, caused a fumble and recovered it. Had nine total tackles, led the team in tackles by far. Had a quarterback hit. He made the impact that we need. We need more guys to make that type of impact. Not only get to the ball, but make a play when you get there. Punch the ball out. We recovered it. Next thing you know, it's 7-6, and the Broncos were right in the game at that time. So Alexander Johnson, I thought he had a really good game.
Yeah, and dare I say, I think he's the best defensive player on this team. What do you think? Overstatement at this point?
No. I mean, he's always the guy leading the team in tackles, and he's I don't think so at all. I think that's accurate.
All right, this the sign of the rookie host here. You know, calling myself Richard Dawson. I didn't get to two. I didn't get to Josie Jewell or Justin Simmons. So I, you know,
what do you mean?
I got to keep him moving. Apparently, we had two more to go.
What happened?
I let you go too. I talk too much.
We still have time. What do you mean?
I don't know.
We have 2 minutes. Why,
all right,
let's go. What's going on?
Real quick. Josie Jewell.
We got time.
That's what I thought too. That's why I was pacing myself. I'm just going off what Steven's telling me.
We got another minute. I got this thing. Don't worry.
I'm Ron Burgundy here.
You just keep throwing them out there. I'll time it up right. Josie Jewell.
Okay.
Look, I'm flat. Josie, he's been better than I thought he would this year. He had a decent game. I didn't see him make a lot of mistakes or anything out there. So flat on Josie Jewell.
All right. And then finally, Justin Simmons.
Down.
So.
Look, he's got to be better. He's making $11 million plus. We need some see some impactful plays from Justin Simmons. We just haven't seen that enough this year. And certainly, you know, we think about the missed tackle there on Tyreek Hill that led to a touchdown. We need to see more from Justin Simmons. You're making over $11 million this year. You want to be paid like a top five safety? Well, you need to start playing like a top five safety.
That was an awful lot of downs and flats, not a lot of ups. If that was your portfolio, you would be depressed on Wednesday afternoon.
Correct. Well, that's what happens when you lose 43-16. There's not going to be a lot of, you know, trending up. Hopefully next week after the Chargers game. Maybe it'll be flipped.
Yep.
It's a week-by-week league.
No doubt.
James, thanks, man.
Yeah,
hey,
it was fun.
You did a great job, and appreciate you, buddy. Maybe we'll be doing it again tomorrow. We'll see.
I was planning on doing a segment with you today. Got to pinch hit for 3 hours. It was great. It made my day. So,
you went 0 for 3 in that pinch hitting in the first segment, too, by the way.
I know. That was
you took a bunch of L's.
You schooled me on the legal ID. That was masterful. And then, you know, I screwed up playing game show host. But I'll try and be better tomorrow if I'm here. If not, it'll be Zach. It'll be Stoke. But keep it right here. The Drive is coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.